Noel's going to shoot a deep three. Whoa! He swishes that with the shot clock winding down. Maybe that's the shot that can help propel K-State here late. They get it down to eight.
Credit to them. If you've watched their games, they've gotten behind to almost every team. But they came out and attacked us. They were in attack mode. Their pressure was, you know, really good. It disrupted us. And yeah, I guess sometimes halftime you take a deep breath, figure it out, and then we just attack them. The points in the paint, second half, if they're going to pressure us, and we just said we got to go at the hoop. I didn't think we went at the hoop in the first half. We settled 0-10 for three in that first half, settled with some empty possessions, and then took care of the ball a little bit better in the second half.
Bruce Weber, head coach of the K-State Wildcats, is K-State their first real test of the season and did not start off very well at all. Arkansas led by as many as 18. K-State rallied with a 40-point second half, got to as close as six on multiple occasions. Marquise Knowles, you heard there, a three-pointer. But Arkansas clinched it at the foul line, 27-34, and Arkansas ranked 16th in the country, improved to 4-0. K-State now 2-1. Arkansas wins 72-64 over K-State in the Hall of Fame Classic. Nigel Pack and Selton Miguel had 14 each for K-State. Marcus Knoll with 10. K-State was just 7-27 for the floor in the first half, but 15 of 32 in the second half. And the slow start, as Bruce Weber referred to. So now it's Bruce Weber versus Brad Underwood in the third place game tonight. That's exactly how it should be, right? Yeah, number 14 Illinois looked like the team that was unranked, and Cincinnati looked like the ranked team. Illinois had a 15-point lead. Illinois came back and won by 20, which means that Cincinnati outscored Illinois by 35 points, and Cincinnati beat Illinois by 20, 71-51. Illinois is ranked 14th, and now K-State and Illinois will play. Weber versus Underwood, 6 o'clock tonight in Kansas City. Did you watch any of the game last night?
Yeah, it was not pretty in the first half. I don't know what this team's going to be when it comes down to it. Obviously, the second half was better. They got after it, like Coach Weber said, and they did what they needed to do to get back into it. But somebody said, Selton Miguel, I think, after the game, said, if we had more time, it would have been a different story. And I'm like, okay, you know how much time there is. You have 40 minutes to play this game, right?
Right. Yes.
It's like, okay, you did have more time. You just didn't use it in the first half to play the way you should have.
You could always.
I love those comments. Like, if we had more time. Well, you had all the time that you were allotted that every team gets.
It wasn't a big surprise that the game lasted, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
It's funny. I never hear the winning team ever complain about the amount of time in the game.
Yeah.
The losing team, if we had more time. Well, but that's the point. You only have so much time
it's
to
like,
win.
You know, going in, you got 40 minutes, maybe more if you're tied at the end of the game, but or at the end of regulation. But
yeah,
I'm just like, come on, man.
Come on, man.
You had more time. You didn't use it. You played terribly.
Yes. So,
I think Arkansas probably let up a little bit, to be completely honest with you.
More than likely.
Arkansas was way better than K-State. There's no question about that.
Yep. First test wasn't very good for K-State last night. And they got another test against Illinois tonight at 6 o'clock. All right, local sports information, Dusty.
It's state football coming up on Saturday for the Beloit Trojans and getting ready to take on the Rossville Bulldogs Saturday. We'll have the game for you on KD Country 94. Pregame coverage beginning at noon and kickoff at 1 o'clock there from Solana Stadium. Wade and Todd will be there in Solana, so we're looking forward to that. And, for all the latest in the state football playoff brackets, you can visit ncksports.com. It's got all the info you need there for state football championships. So the Blitz Trojans getting set to take on Rossville on Saturday.
Our pregame will start at noon o'clock, as Dusty said. It's a full hour pregame. We're going to go back and look at the state championship teams from 75, 76, and 77 and 96, a little bit of the 13 team that lost in the state finals 8 years ago to Silver Lake. And looking forward to it. Tiffany Benin, she's the events manager there in Salina with the Chamber of Commerce. She was our guest today on Community Matters talking about things to do there in Salina. The gates will open at 11. They'll have some areas for tailgating. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful day coming up on Saturday in Salina, so that's awesome. And ticket prices, it's $9 for adults and $6 for students. You can get those online or you can pay cash on site. So it doesn't sound like you can pay with a credit card at the game from what I'm seeing. It's pay cash on site or order them ahead of time. And once again, the gates open at 11. There'll be some tailgating areas. There will be concessions. It's there at Salina Central Stadium, the district stadium. Nice facility. And that's where we'll be up in the press box, and we'll be enjoying Todd's all excited because there's a bathroom in the press box. It's the little things that get Todd Clover excited, apparently. So so we'll be inside looking forward to it, and should be an interesting game, to say the least. We will not be here Thursday because it's Thanksgiving. Friday we will not be here because we have family that lives a ways away, so we're going to both put family ahead of work for one day on Friday. And so we will not be here with the sports ticket on Thursday or Friday. We won't be here with any kind of sports preview on Thursday or Friday. And that's another reason why I don't like the state title games during a holiday. Normally we would have a big extended preview on Friday. So what we're going to do is going to do a pre-preview. And that is Dusty will have a little bit more tomorrow. I'll have some sound from Coach Gober and Coach Hamas from Rossville and Beloit that Dusty can play tomorrow on the show. And so I'm going to talk to those coaches later today. And then tomorrow I've got kids that I need to watch and take care of while my oldest is at basketball practice and there's no school tomorrow. And my wife has gone out of town to do a little pre-shopping before the holidays with some friends of hers. She deserves it, totally. So that means Dusty will have to get up early and do the morning show tomorrow and then the sports ticket. So thus is why, if you're asking, well, the game's not until Saturday, why are you previewing it now? This is why. Because I am privy to more information because I'm studying up harder on it because Dusty's not calling the game. I am, and Dusty's like already dreaming of turkey and stuffing, which he should.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that.
Yeah.
I'm not dreaming of turkey and stuffing, but I'm dreaming of pumpkin pie. And I'm dreaming of family time. There's no doubt about that.
Some Cool Whip on top of that with some strawberries or cherries or whatever pie. You can't mess up pie when you put some Cool Whip on it. So I was doing a lot of studying. I was up till about midnight last night because I'm trying to cram and get all this stuff done and so forth before going to see a family for Thanksgiving. And so last night, you know, I know Beloit inside and out. I know the Beloit football team as well as anybody outside the football team and the coaching staff. I feel very confident when I say that. Now, there might be a few other people that feel they know just as much as I do, and that's fine in regards to that. I'm just saying I know what Beloit has. I've covered every single game for how many years, and this year I've seen every single play, every single snap. So I'm not going to spend a ton of time talking about Beloit on the preview right now because Rossville is the opponent, and I learned a lot about Rossville last night as I took a couple hours to break it all down. So let me bust you with some knowledge on Rossville, okay? First of all, Beloit's in the state title game for the first time since 2013. Beloit's been in the state championship game five times. They won it in 75, 76, 77, a three-peat in 2A. Then they won it in 1996 down at Hayes against Wellsville. 2013, they lost to Silver Lake. Peyton Vetter returned the opening kick for a touchdown. Everything looked great. Nobody could stop anybody the first quarter and a half, and then all of a sudden Silver Lake just kept scoring and scoring. 82-38 was a final. So not a great memory in the guise of the final score, but great memories of making it to state. And I'm going to have a guest on from that 2013 state runner-up team. Hopefully, I'm going to record an interview with him today. And that Beloit alum, who's a very, very prominent and good athlete, is going to be on the sports ticket tomorrow. That Dusty will play that interview so you can get some feedback and some insight into that 2013 team that finished state runner-up to Silver Lake. So this is the sixth state championship game appearance for Beloit. They've been in the semifinals 12 times. They're 6-6, and they're 4-1 in state title games. Brad Gober, his time with Beloit and his 50 years head coach, he's 10-3. Pretty good record in the playoffs, 10-3 for Coach Gober. His overall record's not like going to blow you away. It's nice. I think it's 33-21 or something like that, but when you consider that when they get in the playoffs, they've made some deep runs. And they've made – it's interesting when you look at Beloit and their playoff runs under Coach Gober, who's 33-21 in his fifth year, is that his in 18 they lost in the second round. And in 2019 they lost in the third round, which is the quarterfinals, okay? Mm-hmm. Last year they went one step further – and they lost in the semifinals. And this year they've gone one step further. Mm-hmm. Seriously, it's been a one-step progression each year with Coach Gober. Second round loss in the playoffs. Third round quarterfinal loss to Andale. Last year make it to semifinals, fall to Hoisington. And now they've taken one more step to the state title game for the first time under Coach Gober in the sixth time in school history, which means that they will have to wait till next year to win the state title based on that progression of one step at a time. Now, that's not what Beloit wants to hear. I'm just saying that's the progression they've taken, one significant step each year, you know, the gradual process. You know, we saw that with the Royals. They've had, what, so many years in a row where they kept winning more games than the previous year. They had like six or seven straight years. They went from like winning 50-some games to 60-some to 70-some to 80-some to 90, then 95 when they won the World Series. That's called progression. You're building your program. You're building your team and your organization. And Coach Gober and his staff have done a nice job with that. So Beloit comes in a record of 9-3. Their losses to Southeast Saline and Concordia. Southeast Saline made it to the state semifinals at 3A and gave Andale all they could handle. And they and Beloit lost to Concordia in week three, short a couple guys in that game. And Concordia, Beloit was up 14-8 at halftime. And Concordia is a team that made it to the 3A state quarterfinals. The other loss for Beloit, 7-6 loss to Hoisington. No shame in that. And that's a game Beloit could have won. Hoisington won the district title, but it might have been a blessing in disguise that Beloit didn't win that game, just the way the bracket fell. In regards to so Beloit could host three of the four playoff games as well. And so Hoisington just two losses this year. Beloit in the playoffs, they roll Lakin 53-6, Cimarron 51-6, Hillsborough, they built a big lead and then held on 32-27. Kind of similar against Kingman, built a two-score lead and then eventually hung on 22-19. And all you got to do is be 1 point better, and Beloit's certainly been that. And that, and then some as they get ready for the state championship game against Rossville. But here's an interesting thing I found out about Rossville. Do you know that Rossville has only played three road games all year?
I didn't know that, I guess.
Rossville has only played three road games all year long. Can you believe this? The number one team in the state all year long has been the Rossville Bulldogs. They've won 25 games in a row. The last time they lost a game was in the second round in Nemaha Central back in 2019 and lost that in overtime. They've won 25 in a row since. Their closest game this year was Silver Lake, 24-19 in week seven, but then blew out Silver Lake in the sub-state semis last week, 36-8. So it's one thing that they're the number one team in the state, and they're very, very talented. And on top of that, they got every one of their four playoff games was at home. Mm-hmm. Can you believe that? It fell perfectly for Rossville. Now, last year, they had to go on the road a couple times. But this year, Republic County in the playoffs, 56-0. Second round, Nemaha Central, 32-12. That was a battle for a while. Blew out Riverton, 56-14. Silver Lake at home, which Silver Lake had to travel 5.8 miles to get to that game. And Rossville rolled Silver Lake 36-8. Silver Lake scored in the final seconds. What's interesting about Rossville, all these years we've heard about how great Silver Lake is. Silver Lake's won all kinds of championships. They've been to state title games over and over. That's who Beloit met back in 2013. Since 2002, Silver Lake and Rossville, how many times do you think the East has been represented in 20 years, counting this year? How many of the last 20 years do you think either Silver Lake or Rossville has been in the state title game? Out of 20 years, Silver Lake and Rossville have represented the East. How many of those 20 years in the state championship?
I should have been counting all this stuff.
Yeah, yesterday. You were. You did some homework for me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say 11.
16.
I figured I was too low.
80% of the state title games the last 20 years, 16 to 20 years, there's either been Silver Lake or Rossville in it. And Silver Lake was the one, pretty much the only one in it. From 2002 to 2013, Rossville lost eight times in a row in the semis to Silver Lake. They could never beat Silver Lake when it really, really, really counted. And in 2014, they finally got the monkey off their back, and then the floodgates opened.
No, it's kind of flipped.
Yes, it's flipped now. You're right. Because in 2014, Rossville undefeated state champs beat Scott City. 2015, state champs beat Wichita Collegiate by 1 point. 2016, 13-1. Two-way champs won in overtime over Heston, 48-42. And then last year, state champs undefeated over Hoisington, 27-20. You notice the scores I gave you here? They've been in four state championship games here this last decade. They've won four of the last seven state championships in two-way. In 14, Scott City, they beat 21-14. 15, they beat Collegiate 20-19. 16, beat Heston 48-42 in overtime. Last year, there were people said Hoisington had no chance. Hoisington hung with them. 27-20 was the final. Rossville has not blown out anyone in the state title game ever. Mm-hmm. We sure hope it doesn't start on Saturday against Beloit. But the point I'm trying to make is they have found ways to win super tight games in championship moments, and they're 4-0 in those state title games under Derek Hamas. So even though everyone was super tight, they came through with flying colors. Seven of the last 10 years have been in the state semis. 13 of the last 14 years have been in the playoffs. They won the state title. Four of the last 7 years are going for back-to-back because they went undefeated last year, trying to go for 5 and 8 years. They had never won a state title until 2014. And they have outscored their playoff opponents by an average score of 45-9 this year. And that's counting Silver Lake. They've outscored them 180-34. They're averaging 7.2 yards per carry. They're averaging 14.4 yards per completion. That's scary because they've got an outstanding quarterback in Toy Harrick, and he's missed two games this year. He's completing 64% of his passes. He's thrown for over 1,100 yards. He's rushed for just under 1,000, averaging 10.5 yards a carry. He's thrown 9 touchdown passes, just 1 interception. He's a 3-year starter. Last year, all he did was rush for 1,630 touchdowns and throw for 1,525 touchdowns. His career, he scored 111 touchdowns. He's got 60 rushing and 51 touchdown passes, only 14 interceptions. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. For his career, he's averaging 9.3 yards per carry. He's a senior this year. As a sophomore, he had 1,000 yards passing and 1,200 yards rushing. So he absolutely can do everything for this team, and now it looks like he's fairly healthy after an elbow injury against Silver Lake during the regular season. But Corey Catron is a kid to watch out for because this kid stepped up. He played quarterback for a few games, moved from running back quarterback. All he did was run for 182 yards and 4 touchdowns against Riverton, 167 yards, 3 touchdowns against Silver Lake, and against Nemaha Central, where Horick couldn't play quarterback yet. He was 11-19 for 149 yards, throwing the ball against a very good Nemaha Central team in the second round of the playoffs. He's a kid that can hurt you. So there's two big-time weapons that Rossville has. The other thing is they aren't afraid to throw the ball around. They've got 4 receivers that are averaging, they got 4 receivers with over 150 yards receiving, one guy that's averaging 19 yards per catch. They spread it around, so there's no one guy to key on, which we talked about that with Kingman last week as well. And they're not small like Hillsborough, and they're not small like Kingman. On their line, 224, 249, 194, 241, 211. Beloit still might have a bit of a size advantage up front, but it's not nearly as distinct as it's been the last few games. Here's another thing to throw out at you. Everybody taking notes? Rossville's turned the ball over 4 times all year. Turnovers all year, and they've scored 72 touchdowns. They're averaging 48 points a game. They're giving up 8. You know, I'm not a rocket scientist here, but if you don't turn the ball over and you score a lot of points and your defense has 4 shutouts, I'm going to say you're going to have a pretty good year when you're plus 13 the turnover margin on top of that. They average 409 yards on offense, 272 on the ground, 137 through the air. So they still predominantly run it, but they can throw the ball very well. And they're very efficient, very effective. And then I'm not trying to point this as like Beloit has no chance. I want people to understand I'm not giving you all this information to freak out anybody, but I'm trying to give you information to show that Rossville is the heavy favorite. They're the heavy favorite, and Beloit can beat them. They're just going to have to play probably a really exceptional game. And we have seen crazy things happen in games where, first of all, you know, you overlook an opponent. I don't know if you overlook an opponent at state. You look at comparative scores, and we get caught up in that, and we could be really wrong. We talked about Oakley last year. Nobody gave them a chance at all against Smith Center or against Inman, and they turned it around and flipped around the script in those games and made it the state title game. I'm just giving you that how good this Rossville team is. They also have a really good kicker, as if they don't have enough. They have a kicker, and this blew me away when I pulled this up last night. I had no idea they had this good a kicker. Their kicker is 63 for 65 on extra points. That's 97%. He's 12 of 14 on field goals, although his long is only 32, so he didn't kick it from deep. And he's good on kickoffs, too. He's had 5 touchbacks and averages 54 yards per kickoff. And he's kicked it off 93 times because they've scored a lot. So Rossville has a really good quarterback. They got 2 guys that can play quarterback, which that means that you could have all kinds of opens up the playbook what you want to do with your running back who was a sub quarterback. They got receivers that aren't like super big, but they've got speed. they've got a kicker that could be, you know, the X factor if you're in a close game. And they got a defense that's really, really good so far this year. So they are a complete team is what I'm trying to tell you. They are a complete team. I'm not sharing this information to say, oh, well, you're bragging about Rossville, how good they are. No. These are facts. These are legitimate facts. I mean, Rossville, you don't win 25 games in a row and four state titles last 7 years without being really, really good. And defensively, they sometimes will run. They'll run like a 4-3 multiple defense. I said five shutouts. Four shutouts. I might have said five. They have four shutouts.
You said four.
Did I say four? Okay, good. I can't listen to myself. And then on the offense, our defensive line, they're 241, 249, 211. You add a linebacker in there, about a couple hundred pounds. So Beloit still has a little bit of a size advantage, but there's no doubt for probably the third straight week, Beloit's going to be definitely the slower team. The faster team is going to be – Hillsborough was a faster team. Kingman had more speed, and Rossville has more speed. However, how'd those first two games turn out? Beloit won both.
Yeah.
Beloit had the size advantage, a huge size advantage against Kingman. Size advantage, they played the spread. Rossville's going to spread it out as well. They run things a little bit differently in regards to some of their backs and going at passing patterns. They can run the ball a little bit. They might be a little more diverse in what they do, but they still run the ball about 65% of the time. So they're not a perfect split 50-50 like Kingman was. So it's going to be a huge challenge for Beloit. This is the Horick kid is by far better than the Kingman and Hillsborough quarterbacks, and those kids were both pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very interesting, the defensive game plan for Beloit and how they can hold this Rossville offense down. Silver Lake held them scoreless in the first quarter. Three straight three and outs for Rossville. They did a great job. And then all of a sudden, 95-yard touchdown drive, and the floodgates opened, and they were up 36-0 over the next two and a half quarters. Mm-hmm. And Silver Lake's a really good team. So Beloit's going to have a gigantic challenge in regards to how they defend Rossville. And then the other question for Beloit's going to be, without Vincent Barrett, without Branson Heiseroth, without Logan Arrowsmith, that's their top three running backs. Beloit's down their top three running backs going in the state title game. Barrett broke his leg. Unfortunately, he's having surgery today from what I understand, and that's a huge loss for this team. And Beloit is 0 for 5 throwing the ball in the last two playoff games. They have no pass completions, no passing yardage, and now they're missing their best back, and they're missing their top three backs. And everybody's going to say automatically, and it is the easy thing to say, how's Beloit going to win this game? I mean, seriously, be realistic.
Anybody, if you're a realistic person and you're looking at it from the outside,
absolutely.
Right? And I am, right?
Yeah, right.
And I would say that, right?
Yes.
Because I haven't seen Beloit play this year. I mean, I've watched some of the video streams
right.
and stuff like that. But I mean, I honestly haven't seen Beloit play this year. I haven't seen Rossville play this year.
Right.
You know, I just base it off of what you see and the numbers and everything you just presented to me.
Yeah.
The question for anybody that would listen to that doesn't have any kind of blinders on or anything like that would be, how does Beloit win this game?
Yes, right. And I'll tell you how they win the game. I'll tell you how they can win the game. A lot of things have to go right. When you need to pull off an upset, a lot of things have to go right,
mm-hmm.
okay? First of all, the first thing that Beloit has to do is they cannot turn the ball over.
No.
They cannot afford to turn the ball over. They cannot. They cannot turn the ball over. They cannot have penalties on early downs and get into third and long. They cannot. They're not a team that's going to be able to pass the ball third and long and be very successful. That's just, I mean, we know they've only thrown for 460 yards all year. The other thing is they have to tackle extremely well. They're going to have to tackle extremely well. They're going to have to be assignment sound, and any breakdown will be exploited. They have to tackle well. They have to take the proper angles. They're going to have to be in the right place. They have to trust each other on defense to do their own jobs. If one kid's trying to do something another kid's not doing, you're in trouble. You've got to have a solid defense that's going to, you know, stay home, containment. But then once you contain these kids, you've got to tackle. You have to tackle. Communication's going to be gigantic, especially on defense in regards to different things they're going to see from Rossville. So that's important. Special teams, Beloit's been really good special teams this year. Rossville's a very good special team. So if you're going to pull off an upset, I would say Beloit's got to win special teams. Because how many times do you see K-State over the years where, let's say, there's been years they have no business beating certain teams, and they get a kick return for a touchdown, a block punt for a touchdown. Brendan Walker's blocked a couple punts this year. Beloit's got four safeties. I mean, Beloit's going to have to make plays like that. They're going to have to get a big play, Like, if they can't get a big play in the passing game on offense and they struggle to run the ball, which I think some people think they will because they're on their fourth-string running back or fifth-string running back, and that's no knock on Tate Cadle or Brendan Walker, whoever's running the ball. It's just that that's where you are. The offensive line can take that on their shoulders and say, listen, we don't care who's behind us. We're going to open up holes. So the Beloit offensive line has to play extremely well. Mm-hmm. They have to. And then, of course, you can't turn the ball over. And you're going to have to wrap up, take the proper angles tackle-wise. But if there's ever a chance where you can get an advantage when you're an underdog, it's special teams. Would you agree?
Oh, for sure.
And on paper,
I'm a K-State fan. I definitely agree.
Right, right. Special teams, you. On paper, I mean, they got a weapon with the kicker. There's no doubt. But if Beloit could get a kick return for a touchdown, if Beloit can block a punt for a touchdown or set him up with a short field, whatever the case may be, you know, and the other thing, too, is the defense is probably going to have to force a turnover or two. You know, I think if this game ends up turnover margin is even, I don't think Beloit wins. I think Beloit's going to have to be plus in the turnover category. Mm-hmm. And if they can do that, to me, when you look at the great upsets in sports history, okay, few things have to happen. One, you have to win the turnover battle. Two, you need contributions from all three phases, and sometimes all three that can score. Like, you might need defense to score a touchdown or get a safety or at least set you up for a score with a turnover. You're going to need your offense to make a few plays, obviously, and score, and you're going to need special teams to make a big play. That's usually a common ingredient in an upset. Usually all three phases contribute. Sometimes it's a couple gigantic plays on special teams mm-hmm. that can be the difference. And the other thing, too, for Beloit, I think in order for them to pull off the upset, they've got to start out quick. They cannot get down.
That was on my mind. Yeah. You can't be down 2 touchdowns.
Beloit cannot be down 14-0 6 minutes in this game. if Beloit cannot be behind 14-0, because then you start to wonder, okay, do we belong? And you've been hit by a haymaker, and you're like, what do we do? If you can go out there and punch them in the mouth right off the bat, mm-hmm. if Beloit gets the ball first, can punch them in the mouth and go right down the field and score, or even not even score, but at least move the ball down the field, flip field position, it's going to tell Rossville, okay, these guys are for real. We got a game here. But if Beloit goes 3 and out and Rossville gets the ball and goes right down the field and scores real quickly, and then the same thing happens, quick out, and then boom, they go down and score again, it's going to be extremely, extremely difficult, because Beloit's not a team that is built to come back from big deficits. Spread teams are more likely to come back. Mm-hmm. Like, if Rossville gets down 14-0, I don't think Rossville's panicking at all. Because no. They're like, we got enough offense and we can make adjustments. If Beloit's down 14-0, then it puts so much pressure on their defense, because then you can't afford to give up much more so your team can get back in it. Because Beloit does not want to become – it sounds funny to say this. Beloit doesn't want to become one-dimensional. A lot of people would say they are. They run the ball 86% of the time. But they cannot become one-dimensional in the standpoint of, we're down 14-21-0, and now we got to throw the ball. Mm-hmm. Because if Beloit's got to throw the ball, that is not their MO. That is not their strength. I'm not saying they can't complete passes. I'm not saying they can't have success in the passing game. They can. But usually when they have success, play action. Mm-hmm. And if they got an obvious 3rd and 11, defense knows what's coming. So
you're done there.
Yeah.
You try to play action.
So what I'm trying to say to everybody that's listening out there is, when you're listening to this, you may be saying, well, God, Wade, you're a Debbie Downer. I'm just presenting the information that is in front of me. Every single coach for Beloit knows this information, mm-hmm. or should. And some of the players know it too. And here's the thing. It doesn't matter, and I've said this 1,000 times before. It doesn't matter, you listening right now, it doesn't matter, unless you're a player listening, which you're in school, so you probably shouldn't be. But it doesn't matter if you listening right now individually, it doesn't matter if you believe Beloit can win or not. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if Dusty or I or Todd believe that Beloit can win or not. It doesn't matter. Whether we all believe or not, it doesn't matter. If we all don't believe, it doesn't matter. It has no impact on the game whatsoever. The key to the belief part is that everybody on that football team, especially the main characters they're going to play, and that coaching staff, they all have to believe they can beat Rossville. And if there is any doubt, if the coaches show any doubt, if the players, leaders on the team show doubt, Beloit's in trouble. You've got to believe. Every single time you have an upset in sports, what is the first thing you hear in the post-game interview?
everybody in the locker room or whatever believed we could beat these guys.
We never doubted it. We believed all along. We knew there were naysayers out there. It was us versus the world. We were together. We knew the Braves are the greatest example recently. We had a losing record to break. Did you still believe you could turn around when you were under 500? Yes, we did. Really? Yes, we did. Yeah, sure. Every once in a while you thought a little bit about, well, what if we don't win, get on a roll? But we always believed we were going to put it together. You have to have belief. And if you have no belief, you are already beaten before you begin. You have already lost before you have begun. So you may be listening right now as a Bullet Trojan fan to us, and you may be saying, well, Wade, you just gave all this information. Why should I believe? And I'm going to tell you, here's why you should believe. Because the games aren't won by me talking, Dusty talking, or you talking at the water cooler. The game isn't decided by whether we believe at all or anything that we do or how loud we cheer. That doesn't force the team to win or lose. It is inside those walls, inside that locker room, and inside the school where those kids have to believe. And if they believe, they've got a chance. If they don't, then they don't. It's as simple as that. No team that I know of in the history of sports has pulled off a big upset and said afterwards, wish we believed more. We really didn't believe we could win, but by golly, by the luck of God, we did. I've never heard that. Have you heard that?
No.
No?
No.
Never?
No. No.
Not one time. Not one single time. Did you just get pie?
I got it early.
What in the world is going on? Ooh, and there's a whole deal of Cool Whip. Check that out.
Yeah.
Hot dog. Thanksgiving came early. It pays to know people, doesn't it, Dusty?
Yeah, it does.
You guys have matching shirts on, by the way. Did you organize that?
Well, kind of.
Oh, is it pink? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's you. She's in the dark. Okay. Brian's in the dark.
I don't have the best view over with the lighting. Yeah. Okay. Well, pink. Close enough. Pink, red, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for that pie. I don't know if I want it, though. I'll let you have it. I think it's for you anyway. Right?
It can be shared.
Well, see, this is a dad of kids that played that had a team that was winless one year, right? Young team.
Yeah.
And what happened the very next year? They got better. They got better. And what happened? They believed and never gave up on themselves, right? St. John's Tipton's a great example.
Yeah.
If they gave up after that first year and all quit playing football, you would never made it to the playoffs, right? You have to believe.
Absolutely.
You've got to believe.
Yeah.
Why would you come this far and suddenly not believe?
I mean, you wouldn't if you're a team.
You better not.
If you're the right kind of team, you're not going to stop believing that you can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the bottom line. And it's going to be interesting what will transpire. But here's the thing. Sometimes when your back's against the wall and everybody thinks you don't have a chance of winning, you use that as extra motivation and fuel and fire, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like we're playing with house money. We got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Everybody expects them to win. Well, why do we see it? The NCAA tournament, we see it all the time.
KU at Texas.
KU in men's basketball. Like every year. Well, they're one of the favorites to make the Final Four. And we've talked about it.
Yeah.
14 straight championships. They made 3 Final Fours and only 1 national championship. They're favored many years because you got to go play the game on paper. All the pressure is on the favorite many, many times. Kentucky's a great example when they're 40-0. UNLV beat Duke. Here we talk about believing. Go back to 1991. 1990, UNLV beat Duke by 30. By 30 in the national semifinals. They absolutely pulverized them. Then fast forward a year later, they meet in the semifinals, UNLV and Duke. A lot of people think UNLV Duke played in the national championship that year. They didn't, because KU lost to Duke the next game. Nobody gave Duke a chance. Nobody.
No.
Nobody. Nobody.
Well, I mean, weeks ago, nobody gave KU football a chance to beat Texas and Austin, right?
I didn't.
They believe.
I'll raise my hand. I didn't give them a chance. I didn't give a chance to win any game this year, to be quite frank with you. You know? I didn't.
Yeah.
Well, how many times have we saw K-State football? Last few years against Oklahoma. I know a lot of K-State fans.
No.
They gave K-State no chance to win in Norman last year without a whole bunch of players.
Because they won the year before, and it's like, without anybody this year, we're not.
Yeah, COVID, we got guys out. There's no way. There's no way. K-State didn't care, did they? Players didn't care. They knew they could win, and they believed that they went down and they proved it. So that's the bottom line. So I would say that if you are around the kids and around the coaching staff, stay positive. Whether you believe or not, stay positive. Don't tell a kid you can't do it. You might say, hey, it's going to be difficult, but I think you can do it.
Yeah.
All right? That positive reinforcement. And I know all three of us here know that it works.
Oh, for sure.
We know it works. We know it works. Wait, what? You want off now? You're looking at this and staring at it and drooling. Are you going to eat this on the air? It's from your cousin?
Yeah.
Did he lose a bet?
No.
Okay.
Which one? P?
Okay.
Julie.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't. I didn't know which one would have brought that because I think they all know I like pumpkin pie. So.
I heard you talking about it. That's why it's here.
Okay. Julie's like, go bring him one.
Nice. Thanks. Thanks, Brian. So, yeah, just the matter is about believing. And Dusty believed he'd get pumpkin pie, and boom, there it is.
Hey, I said I was dreaming of it, and Julie heard my dream, and
small dream that came true.
Forced him to come all the way over here and bring me a pumpkin pie.
Dusty's got the perfect diet over here. He's got frosted sugar cookies.
I forgot to put these here yesterday when I got in this morning. I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot I had those here.
Yeah, that makes dieticians everywhere cringe when they see that combination.
Hey, you know.
Hey,
I don't eat them all at once now anymore, so that's why it's okay, right?
It's Thanksgiving week, right?
Yeah, this week's going to be, you're throwing out all the rules, right?
Isn't it a vicious cycle? Like Thanksgiving week, I shouldn't eat that much, but then you do. Then you're like, okay, well, I need to really work that off. So then some people work it off, and they work real hard afterwards. They work it off. And then, boom, here comes Christmas. Yeah, next thing you know, New Year's resolution. It's a vicious cycle.
There was 1 year I was like, I got to get, I'm going to get under 200 was my number, right? Mm-hmm. And I got to like 202 and Thanksgiving hit. And then I just kept eating. And I'm like, and then it's winter, right? And then you're just inside all the time and you just don't want to do anything.
You know, Dusty, you could be like Sylton Miguel if you would have had more time and known
if
Thanksgiving.
If I had more time.
If you had more time, you would have been under 200.
Exactly.
Darn it. Darn it.
I went ahead and made some conscious decisions now, but back then it was like, you know, holy cow, I was this close, and then Thanksgiving hit.
Oh, my. All right, so the bottom line is you got to believe.
Don't yet. I mean, that's for every team there. And like I said, your biggest point there is if you've made it this far.
Why would you stop?
Why are you stopping now? Right. Like, you've made it to the state championship game, and I think everybody in that locker room, and you know, you'll go scout everything and understand everything you want. Coaches will tell you some things about the other team, but
right.
The coaches are not worried about the other team in the aspect of, hey, we got this far, let's go finish it.
Yeah.
That's the message. It's not about the other team. And like, we have to talk about the other team, right?
Oh, absolutely.
We present everything because we have to do both sides of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to let everybody know how great this team is.
Right.
The boys playing on Saturday. I mean, 25 straight wins, and you gave all the numbers. This year, they're even more dominant than they were last year.
Yeah.
And even look at all these things, and we have to do that. Mm-hmm. But in the locker room, and even if the kids are listening, if they're somehow out of school and listening to us right now, you know, it's like they don't even care about what we're saying. They shouldn't.
They shouldn't.
You know, they shouldn't care about what we're saying, what mom's saying, what other fans are saying about the game. Just focus on what you need to do and go win.
That's right.
That's the mindset you need to have going into that.
And I say I think, you know, the pressure usually is on the favorite. So
for sure,
just
yeah.
play yeah, loose, relax, have a good time.
When you hear all that stuff as a player, it's like, I don't have pressure on me. I'm just going to go play.
Here's the thing that I also like is that, you know, in order to win a championship, you should have to beat the best to be the best. It shouldn't be easy. It should be hard.
Yeah.
You know, it really should be hard, and it will be hard, no doubt. It's hard to get this far. It's going to be hard to win at all, no doubt. And some schools make it a little easier than others. Some have certainly, you know, you look at Andale, you look at Miege and some of those schools, they have, you know, obviously some pretty big advantages. Although they're not perfect. They haven't won every title. Miege didn't win it last year. Andale's won it last few years once they dropped to 3A. But you kind of get the point that you at least get to settle on the field. We don't have to worry about a playoff ranking mm-hmm. committee to leave you out of the playoffs. Beloit's earned their spot there. They represent the West. Last year, I remember a lot of talk. I had people texting me saying, Hoisington has no chance. That's what people told me. Hoisington has no chance mm-hmm. against Rossville. 27-20, and Hoisington, if they could have converted a third down on their final drive, you know, they very well could have gone down and tied the game or maybe gone for the win. So that's why they play the games. You might think you have it all figured out, but usually we don't.
No.
And that's the beauty of sports. That's what I love about sports. So anyway, our pregame coverage at noon and then kickoff at 1 on Saturday from Salina, Beloit versus Rossville. And Beloit has the last chance this year to knock off the defending state champion and end their 25-game winning streak. They have the last chance. Nobody else stands between Rossville and the title except Beloit. So it should be fun coming up on Saturday. College basketball, number one Gonzaga versus number two UCLA. It's the Empire Classic at 9 o'clock in Las Vegas. It marks the 43rd all-time number one versus number two matchup during the regular season. Gonzaga, if you remember, knocked off UCLA. UCLA wasn't given much of a chance to win that game. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Gonzaga undefeated, Final Four. And UCLA had that run from the play-in game all the way to the Final Four. And Gonzaga won on a 37-foot bank shot by Jalen Suggs nearly from half court to win the game. One of the craziest shots you'll see it ever win a game. And UCLA's season was over. It was an instant classic. And now here we are, early part of the season. Gonzaga's won again. UCLA is number two. It's the one versus two. It's a rematch. This game doesn't have nearly as much on the line, obviously. The Zags were undefeated, of course, then lost in the championship game to Baylor. And UCLA made that crazy run to the Final Four. UCLA has almost everyone back. Gonzaga has Drew Timmy, and they've got this freshman who's a really good player, a center inside. I forgot his name. Doggone it. I did know it. It's tipped my tongue, but he's a really good player.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be fun tonight. Yesterday, there was already number one versus number two. It was number one South Carolina women versus number two UConn. UConn had like a 9 or 11-point lead in the first half, but South Carolina just pulled away in the fourth quarter, beat UConn 73-57 to claim the Battle for Atlantis championship in the Bahamas. Ah, the Bahamas. That sounds nice. Twice I've had a trip scheduled to the Bahamas, once ruined by a hurricane that moved our trip to another place, which was fine. And the last time, there's a thing called COVID-19 that spoiled it. So my wife and I have agreed we will try one more time for the Bahamas, and if we do not, where it doesn't work out, we are not destined to go to the Bahamas. We will have struck out, and we'll go 0-3.
Yeah.
So don't – I guess there's the thing. You probably don't want to schedule a trip to Bahamas because bad things tend to happen. But anyway, they played in Bahamas, and it was a fourth meeting between the two teams as top two in the country, and UConn had won the previous three matchups. They're 9-1 now all-time against South Carolina, and UConn lost yesterday. South Carolina won, and I like it. I like when somebody else is winning against UConn in that situation. And so number one, number two played yesterday in women's. South Carolina, number one, won. Now tonight, you got number one versus number two, Gonzaga, UCLA.
I saw the box score and the line score of the quarters for each team. I didn't look into the actual story about the games, but I'm wondering, I would imagine UConn's never been held to 3 points in a quarter.
I would guess you're probably
like,
right.
It was 16-3 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's wild.
Because what's crazy was I saw a little bit of it, and I saw in the – well, like I said, I saw in the first half, I saw a little bit where Connecticut was up 9 or 11. And then I looked, next thing I know, it was like tied. And then it was late in the third, and it was tied at 52.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw last night the final score. I'm like, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened, 16-3. 16-3.
I mean, 16 is not a large amount for even a South Carolina in that quarter, but man, when you hold the team to three, you're gonna do pretty well.
I like your chances.
And I was thinking about that because it was late when I was putting all that together, and then I was thinking about it this morning. I'm like, I'm wondering if UConn's ever been held to 3 points in a quarter.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say no.
Yeah,
that's for sure. I know they weren't held to 3 points in a quarter by Fort Hays State in the exhibition game.
No, they were not held to 3 points in a second.
I know that. So K-State back in action tonight against Illinois at 6 o'clock. KU's in action Thursday on Thanksgiving Day, which you can hear on Z96.3 Lake with pregame at 12:30. Tip-off either 1 or 1:30 against North Texas down in Orlando. KU will play again on Friday, and then hopefully we can have their game on Sunday. It just depends on, we don't know the timing, and we're not going to be around, so how we could even schedule it, it's not ideal for anybody. I've talked to people at Learfield, it's not ideal for them either. It's tough to schedule all this stuff on holidays, and a lot of people are working on holidays when it probably could be avoided. You know, I had somebody ask me yesterday, and I thought it was a good point, after we talked about, what's more important, family or sports? And I think in some families, it is sports. In others, it's definitely family. And somebody said, he goes, what would it be like if we had no sports on Thanksgiving Day? Like, would we really all just die? Like, couldn't we survive with no sports at all? Like, could we just possibly have no TV? Can you imagine what would happen if we all sat around and talked to each other and caught up instead of staring at a TV after we eat turkey? Okay.
Unplug the Wi-Fi, you know.
Right. And to get off our phones, quit watching TV, and play board games. Or if it's nice, go throw the ball around or have a little touch football game. Or if there's a basketball goal, play a little two-on-two or horse or pig. And I thought that would be a great idea. Wouldn't it be great if the whole country just decided, you know what, there's no there will be nothing on television. We're pulling the plug on everything. No, this, no, just today is electronic free day. It's Thanksgiving Day, all right? So you have electricity to make your food, do this or do that, but you have to play board games. Or I mean, wouldn't you probably get more out of that Thanksgiving experience instead of sitting around the house? I know how it works. It happens in my family. We visit. The kids are on either a phone or an iPod or an iPad. We try to go outside and do things, and we do, but we can't do it all the time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the weather's good. Sometimes it's not. And you might go out to eat, and so you get to hang out and talk a little bit there. Then you can, you know, after Thanksgiving, you sit in front and watch a game. Like, do the Bears and Lions, do we need to watch the Bears and Lions play an NFL football game on Thanksgiving Day? I mean, you talk about trash. You know, my kid says that a lot now. Oh, trash. I'm like, what? But anyway, it isn't a very good game. Let's just put it that way, okay? It's 3-7 versus 0-9-1. Do we really have to get all excited and turn on the TV to watch that train wreck? Like, wouldn't we better off just saying that game's horrible? Let's not bother turning it on until the Bills play the who do they play? The Bills play, goodness gracious. There's a pretty good game later in the evening. Goodness gracious, I don't have it for me. Pull it up for me.
I will.
The Bills, it's a pretty important game. Is it Bills Saints? Maybe that's it. Might be Bills Saints.
Yeah, it might be.
I think so.
Yeah.
Bills Saints. Well, that'd be a pretty good game. But would it kill us if we had no sports for one day on Thanksgiving?
It wouldn't kill us.
No, we'd survive. No, you know how I know that? Because COVID, we didn't have sports, and well, most of us survived. I guess technically not everybody.
And that was the biggest thing that came out of that for me.
Yeah, right? I felt like I didn't need sports as much as I once did.
Okay, this is not quite I feel like it is in my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. My computer's being really slow
That's all right. It's Bill Saints, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so Monday Night Football last night, it was the Buccaneers getting back on track against the Giants.
Six. Here's Ronald Jones to try the left side. Get the corner. Get the end zone. Touchdown, Buccaneers.
So the Buccaneers win last night 30-10 over the Giants. And so the Buccaneers now 7-3 on the season, and they're only a game out of the number one seed. So we're sitting here worried about the Bucs having problems, the Chiefs having problems, and here we are. The conference champions are both just a game out of the number one seed and home field advantage. There was a chance for teams to pull away, and they didn't take advantage of it. By the way, your Thanksgiving games, the exhilarating Bears-Lions game at 11:30 on Fox. I mean, you seriously need to leave the TV on while you eat. That's one you can't miss. And then the Raiders-Cowboys, which, you know, I don't know if that's a great game either, to be honest with you, but that's at 3:30 on CBS. The night game, Bills-Saints. Now, I will say this. If you skip the first two games and you're around your family all day playing board games, you need a reprieve. You probably need to get away and watch TV at 7:20, okay? I'll give you that. Or maybe you need a break at 3:30. Do you really need the break and watch football at 11:30 in the morning? That one can wait.
Yeah, for sure.
Like forever.
Yeah.
Since Lions Bears.
I like it. We make a conscious effort, really, when we're together to like either – a lot of times we'll play catchphrase.
Yeah. Good for you.
Skip bow, things like that. Like, yeah. We get around the table and do stuff. Or even if it's in the living room with the TV on, we're still, you know, passing that, you know, catchphrase around or doing something.
Good.
At least for a little bit while we're together. And so I think it helps a lot to do things like that.
If it's nice, we go outside.
We do that too. Like the kids will always go outside if it's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. One year it was too nice at Christmas, and one of my nephews broke his arm because he was jumping bales. So it's like, it's too nice out here for December. So
we all have our pet peeves. Thanks, Cody. Cody says he's been up Bahamas 3 times. Thanks for rubbing it in, Cody. Appreciate that, buddy.
Read the room, Cody.
Come on, read the room. Yes, absolutely. So, and Tyler sent something. I disagreed because I probably wouldn't have a job. What, turn off the Wi-Fi for one day would cause Tyler not to have a job?
Wi-Fi, yeah. I probably shouldn't have said that, huh?
Okay. Well, I just said for one day.
I didn't say forever, Tyler.
I mean, Tyler, hopefully you have Thanksgiving off, Tyler. Hopefully the company you work for, which we won't name, but they're a really good company. At least I've never had a problem with them.
Somebody's
But if they're
be
making
on
you work
though.
On Thanksgiving, then, buddy, maybe you do need the Wi-Fi disconnected so you don't have to worry about it. Just tell everybody not to worry about it. You know, I see what could happen, though. He could be on call. Hey, Thanksgiving. Yeah. I need the Wi-Fi fix. You know what?
I'm
the heck with it.
Turkey.
We're having a family get-together at the Brummers, and we're not going to your Wi-Fi, okay? It happened for a reason. Somebody pulled the plug. Live with it. It'll be up at 12:01 a.m. Friday.
Yeah.
So you can go shopping online, whatever else you're going to do. Yeah, I had a pet peeve. Forgot what it was. There was something with sports and pet peeves.
It was Cody going to the Bahamas.
Yeah, that bothers me. Yeah, read the room, Cody, for crying out loud, dude. Listen to the room, read the room, whatever you got to do. But, man, so thanks, Cody, for that. So apparently every time we've tried to go, he's been able to go.
Yeah.
That makes me feel splendid. Yeah. Yeah. Tyler goes, you guessed it, on call. So that's why he doesn't want you to say turn off the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Well, that's when I tell Tyler, just turn off the phone.
Yeah.
My phone apparently had a malfunction and broke. I don't know what happened. It fell into the toilet. It accidentally fell into the toilet. Somehow it was chucked into a river. Don't know how. I was due for a new one. Somehow lost it.
Found it at midnight and put it in rice and somehow it works again.
Unbelievable.
It's weird how that happens.
Crazy how that works. All right. College football playoff rankings are tonight. And... well, what do we expect? What's your prediction here? What's the top four? When we know Georgia's one, who's two?
I think Alabama's still going to be number two. I don't think they should.
I think you're right. I think they'll still be two, but I don't think they should. Ohio State will be three. I think we agree on that.
Yeah.
Who's four? Is it Cincinnati, or you said yesterday you thought Michigan?
I think Michigan's going to be four.
You think Michigan's going to jump Cincinnati? Cincinnati crushed.
I don't think they should.
But. Cincinnati crushed an 8-2 team. Michigan beat a bad Maryland team. There's no way Michigan should move up.
No, not at all.
I think Cincinnati will still be at four. I think they will. They'll play this game out, and then Michigan will be at five, and they'll be like, you know, obviously if Michigan beats Ohio State, then Cincinnati and Michigan will move up.
That's why Michigan's going to jump them.
So they can promote it that way?
Four and promote it, and whoever wins this game is out. Is in. Whoever loses is out. Doesn't even matter. Cincinnati will get their spot once one of these two teams loses.
So you think that'll
be the talking point this week?
You think that'll be the fabricated talking point is that they'll put Michigan in at four, Ohio State at three. They'll both be Michigan will jump Cincinnati after a win over Maryland. It's not very good. Cincinnati crushed an 8-2 SMU team. So you think the talking point will be Ohio State, Michigan. They'll get Cincinnati fans will get their panties in a bunch because they'll be all screaming and yelling, how are we five? And all along, missing the whole point that, well, if Ohio State, Michigan, somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose, and the loser's out, and then Cincinnati moves in the fourth spot anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
I think that's what we need to talk about this week because, we can talk about Alabama, Ohio State, but it doesn't matter, right? Like, both of those teams right now are in the playoffs, so.
They could create
two and three. They're playing each other no matter if they're two or three. It doesn't matter.
They could create a talking point and put Ohio State ahead of Alabama, too.
Yeah.
But the bigger thing would be Michigan jumping Cincinnati. Interesting. I don't think you might. I think
2-3 doesn't mean anything in this playoff. It literally means nothing.
No.
Because you're playing each other. It's like, right. Oh, I'm 2, you're 3. Oh, we're playing in the same game. Who cares if we're 2 or 3?
The only reason 2-3 matters is if you're scared of Georgia. So you don't have to play them in the semifinals. That's really the only reason. Michigan State's going to fall, obviously. Now, I think the other thing I'm going to be interested in, how much does Notre Dame move up? And Oklahoma State, to me, should be ahead of Notre Dame, but that's just me. Oklahoma State, Notre Dame, where do they fall tonight? How far do they move up? Do they just move up a spot and Michigan State slides behind them? I would imagine that's the case. My prediction would be Georgia 1, Alabama 2, Ohio State 3. I'll stick with Cincinnati at 4, Michigan at 5. 6, I think you're going to have Notre Dame, and 7's Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm.
And I could argue that Oklahoma State could be until Ohio State crushed Michigan State, Oklahoma State had a better resume. Now they don't. But if Oklahoma State would crush Oklahoma this weekend, that could help. Of course, if Ohio State beats Michigan State, then, you know, back-to-back weeks, they'll still be ahead of Oklahoma State no matter what. So that's the rankings are coming out tonight. LeBron James is suspended for one game. It'll cost him $284,000. But here's the crazy thing. This one-game suspension saves the Lakers $500,000 in luxury tax payments because of a one-game suspension. Because they don't have to pay him $284,000, it saves them $500,000. What's next? Guys getting suspended on purpose to save money for the team or something? LeBron gets one game.
Take one for the team here.
Yeah, LeBron gets one-game suspension. Not that it's a big deal early in the year. And Isaiah Stewart, who went ballistic and nuts, I was surprised, only got two.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised when he got two. I thought he'd get a little bit more than that.
I think since he didn't actually
connect with people,
really hurt anybody, you know, I think it was more of a physical presence just bowling through people.
Based on what I saw, and once again, if you want to send a message, but LeBron's one of the stars of the league, so I get it. But I think he got off too leniently. I think LeBron, I mean, it was a cheap shot. I mean, I saw it. It didn't look like it was on accident. And LeBron supposedly after the fact was trying to get Isaiah Stewart's number to ask him out on a date. I don't know. He was going to apologize. I'm joking. So I think LeBron should have got 2 games. And I think Stewart should have got 4 or 5. Because I don't know. I don't think 2 games is enough when a guy is continuously fights off people and keeps wanting to go after him for like 10 minutes and then runs in a tunnel wanting to go on the other side and surprise him. I mean, did we not see what happened with Malice in the Palace? I'm very surprised. I think if David Stern was still alive and commissioner, both of these guys would get a bigger suspension, especially Stewart. But Adam Silver, I think the fact that Stewart was bleeding all over his face and that and LeBron was the one that instigated it in regards to the kind of the cheap shot, I think that's why he's only going to get 2. And yeah. I do feel like if you're only going to give LeBron 1, I'm okay with Stewart getting 2. My point is I think Stewart should get more because it kind of sets a dangerous precedent. And LeBron should get more than 1 game. But your stars, you're not going to suspend as long. If that was Joe Schmo versus Isaiah Stewart, I think both suspensions would be longer.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I think.
I do, too. But the league can't afford to have LeBron out for an extended period of time. So yeah. They're just like, hey, let's do 1 game. Yeah. It's going to hit his pocketbook enough.
Yeah.
2 for this guy. Let's call it good.
$284,000. A lot of us won't even make that in a decade.
Stewart makes $45,000 over 2 games.
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
That's what he's going to lose over 2, and LeBron's losing that much over 1.
Hey, I do have a pet peeve. Another one. I have lots of them. Here's another pet peeve. Somebody brings in a pumpkin pie. I don't like pumpkin pie. And you bring it in front of me with Cool Whip. Wade likes cream pie.
You do like Cool Whip.
Wade, like, yeah, I'll just eat Cool Whip. You know what? I'll just take the Cool Whip container and you can eat the pie.
Would literally just I could eat do that. That whole thing.
Oh, I could do that. Yeah. I might steal one of your
cookies and the Cool Whip would be good.
Yes! I'm going to steal one of your Harvest Frosted Sugar cookies, Halloween decorated, and I'm going to dip it in the Cool Whip. That's what I haven't had breakfast yet. That's exactly what I'm going to do.
No, they're just fall decorated, so they're still good, you know?
Yeah, you know. I'm not going to lie to you though. I'm going to be completely honest and forthright here. And if your relation is listening now, and then they feel like they're oh goodness, we better get Wade a cream pie. No, don't do that. I mean, if you'd want to, that's fine. Not telling you can't, but I'm not going to feel bad if you don't bring me a cream pie. But the reason I'm sharing the story is that Dusty gets here usually at 9 a.m. in the morning. Okay, but he stays later in the day, and he's doing sports late at night. He's a dedicated guy. So I'm in at 7, and Alice Thompson brought in some Krispy Kreme donuts. Apparently there was a listener that enjoys what we do, which we've got that person fooled. Mm-hmm. And they apparently they bought some donuts, and they had Alice deliver a box of 12 Krispy Kreme donuts to the radio station. Dusty just now knows this because I ate 6 of them in 2 minutes, and I took the other 6 home with me. And let my kids have them, except my oldest doesn't like donuts, but my other 2 kids just, you know, love them. And so, in fairness, Dusty should not share the pie at all, even though I'm not a pumpkin pie guy. And I'm not an apple pie guy, so I'm un-American. I get it, okay? I will maybe ask if I can steal some Cool Whip, but if not, I get it. Because I didn't even let him know there were 12 donuts, and my family just absolutely inhaled them. So, I just want people to know I'm being fair and square here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's one of my pet peeves is when people don't tell me there was donuts here.
And now we're even. Now we're even.
Oh, man.
All right, have a great day. Dusty's like, dude, I got to get up early to fill in for you tomorrow morning, so you ain't getting no pie. Dusty will be in tomorrow morning with Waterside Wake Up. He'll do a sports ticket. We'll have a preview, a little bit more, hearing from both coaches of Beloit Rossville, K-State in focus tomorrow, and we'll have a special guest that played in the 2013 state title game for Beloit against Silver Lake. That is planned for tomorrow as well on the sports ticket.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.